Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day. The one who knows about the X's and O's.
Yes, your man, Professor X Factor, a.k.a. Angry Man. Open your textbooks, take a seat, and close your mouths because class is in session.
Class is in session, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to pretty much discuss this AFC conference today and also say a couple of headliners, though. But before we get into the show, let me just go ahead and thank everybody for tuning in to episode 29 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real world radio for the real sports fan. The number to call into the show is 858-777-8 433. That number again, ladies and gentlemen, is 858-777-8433. Make sure you call into the show and let your voice be heard. Make sure you press one on your mobile device, because if you don't, we don't know what you're going to say. We can't hear what you're going to say because you didn't press one. So make sure you do that. And before we get started,
it's probably not important anyway.
Before we get into the show, man, let me go ahead and put my other brother here on the line, man. This is NYC's finest chef, man. My man, Executive Q Drakefoot. What up, baby boy? What's good?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I'm NYC's finest regardless of any profession, any industry, any standards. Wait till that single drop. Y'all know what's coming. Got that fire.
Put the fire on the man. I hear you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we like to open up each show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it here at Locker Room Talk Radio, Damn. Going into the situation, Naomi Osaka loses her number one spot to Belinda Bencic at the U.S. Open. It was a great match, and she said she had a sore knee that really put her out of contention. But at the end of the day, she's young. She'll bounce back. But congratulations to Belinda Bencic. I apologize. College football. There was a lot of scores out there yesterday, a lot of beatdowns yesterday. College football was crazy over the weekend. Florida beats Miami the U 24-20. Clemson beats the hell out of Georgia Tech 52-14. Texas A&M beats Texas State 41-7. Utah beats BYU 30-12. UFC beats Florida A&M, Lord have mercy, 62-0. Whoever the hell the coach is over there, you need to be damn fired. Fired. I was just telling the professor, I could care less what type of level you play any sport. As far as football is concerned, 62-0, that's no. Alabama beats Duke, of course, 42-3. Georgia beats Vanderbilt 30-6. Ohio State beats Florida Atlantic 45-21. LSU beats the hell out of Georgia Southern 55-3. Texas beats Louisiana Tech 45-14. And Washington beats Eastern Washington 47-14. And Penn State beats Idaho 79-7. That's embarrassing as well. But those are just a couple of scores from the college football games over the weekend. Jason Garrett said that there's no timetable for Zeke's return. None whatsoever. He's pretty much going to go business as usual. Allegedly, they are talks between Zeke Elliott and Dallas Cowboys, saying that they're close to a deal. We don't know how close, though, but I guess they are making progress. Executive, Somebody told me through the grapevine that you had an exclusive that you wanted to drop on Locker Room Talk Radio. The floor is yours.
You talking to me?
I said executive.
Oh, okay. I ain't hear that. I was sitting here eating my candy bacon barbecue cheeseburger out here, boy.
Yeah, man. Why,
yeah,
why would
that
you
thing
do that?
Lovely.
Why would you do that? Knowing that we can't.
That thing lovely.
Why
that thing lovely.
Why would you do that?
Okay,
why?
So look, I apologize for my old boys. Look here. Okay.
Okay.
The deal is this. Ain't going to be no damn deal till Ezekiel Elliott gets what he wants and guaranteed money.
Mm.
And Jerry Jones is acting funny with the guaranteed money.
Mm.
So ain't going to be no damn deal till Zeke get that guarantee.
Get that guarantee.
So they agree on the amount. They agree on the length and the terms.
Okay.
They do not agree on the guarantee.
Now let me ask you a question, executive. Do you happen to know?
Let me go ahead and answer that question that you asked.
Okay, go ahead. I was about to, do you happen to know the number that Zeke is looking for as far as guaranteed money? You happen to know that information?
Yes, he wants the most.
Okay.
So whoever has, whatever running back has the highest guaranteed money contract to, as of today, Zeke wants more than him.
Okay. Before I get to the next topic and before we get into it later on in the show, Professor X Factor, just like you heard executive say, that they agreed to the terms, they agreed to the length of the contract, all that good stuff. It's the only thing that's between them is the guaranteed money. Do you think that Zeke Elliott should be the highest paid running back in the National Football League?
I mean,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to argue against it.
Remember,
I didn't really say
he said highest paid. I said he wants the most guaranteed. So he's willing to not be the highest paid as long as he's got the highest guaranteed. Just throw that in there.
Okay, gotcha. Well,
I don't think I would really be able to argue against him getting the most guaranteed money or even being the highest paid running back in the league. I wouldn't be able to argue against that. He's remained pretty healthy so far in his career. Todd Gurley got injury issues. Adrian Peterson is on his way out. Kareem Hunt, like to beat up white bitches. I mean, who else is supposed to get the money?
Stop it, man. Stop it. You're killing me, Petey. You're killing me, man.
Who else is supposed to get the money?
You know what I'm talking about, man. You're killing me.
Hey,
Kareem Hunt like to beat up white expletives. Who else is supposed to get the money?
He's killing me, executive.
Hey, look. Hey, look. Bars. Bars. That's all I'm gonna say.
No.
Bars.
What other running back could we justifiably say should really be able to make a claim for highest paid running back in the league besides Ezekiel Elliott? Who would it be?
That's a million-dollar question. Right about now, I really don't have an answer.
Right now, Melvin Gordon thinks he should be.
But that's not going to happen.
People in hell want ice water.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not going to happen. Yeah.
Don't hold your breath, Melvin.
Well, speaking of running backs, ladies and gentlemen, LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, is now a Kansas City Chief. That signing was very interesting to me because at the end of the day, I know they don't have Keem Hunt anymore, and they definitely needed another change of pace running back, and now they got one. Executive, let me go to you first. This signing for the Kansas City Chiefs, LeSean McCoy, do you think it's a good signing for the Chiefs or a bad one?
I mean, of course, he can change the pace back.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be able to manage the clock a lot better than they used to. And, yeah, should be good. He's still a dynamic running back. He can catch and run, get some yak. He doesn't have the same burst. Not really going to break a lot of tackles through the hole. But he can get around the edge. It should be good.
How about you, Professor? Do you think that was a good signing for the Chiefs? Yes or no? LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I think that causes another problem for everybody else that has to play them. Because in terms of elusiveness, LeSean McCoy is probably still the most elusive running back in the league. I mean, I don't know another running back in the league that can embarrass people in the open field like LeSean McCoy.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Melvin Gordon is just I couldn't even say it with a straight face. I'm going to shut up.
Exactly. Just don't do it.
So don't
when you said it, like, I wish you could have seen my face when I heard you say, I don't know what you're talking about, Melvin. When you said, I don't know what you're talking about, Melvin Gordon, and I was just sitting over here like, what in the hell? Did you just say Melvin Gordon?
Like I said, I was trying. I was
yeah, you
y'all,
you
y'all know I got jokes.
A nice try.
I hear that. I hear that. But let me ask you, gentlemen, a question. Anybody can jump in here. Are you, either of you, concerned about LeSean McCoy's health history? He tends to at times get hurt at the wrong inopportune times. So if he does go down, what does that mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? Because he wasn't exactly the healthiest running back in Buffalo.
Look here. It means next man up. I'm so tired of hearing this shit about people. You only beat us because our player was hurt. Shut up. Shut the hell up. You got 53, damn it. You got 63 people on your team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If 63 people can't get the job done, you need to fire your team. Don't get mad because your running back was hurt, your quarterback broke his thumb, your wide receiver twisted his ankle, and your lineman got turf toe. Kiss my ass. 63 people, 10 on your practice squad, 53 on your active roster. If those people can't execute collectively as one, then it becomes a management, coaching, personnel, director, ownership issue, which means it's still your team's fault. Shut up. Nick.
Okay. Hey, trade the whole team, pretty much. Another news, man, we're going to move right along. The Texans traded Jadeveon Clowney to the Seattle Seahawks. The Texans received a 2020 third-round pick, and linebackers Markavius Mingo and Jacob Martin. I don't even know who the hell Jacob Martin is, but no disrespect to you. But Houston already paid Clowney's a $7 million signing bonus, and Seattle will pay the remaining $8 million of his salary. So the Texans don't have Jadeveon Clowney no more. They were looking to trade him, and they finally did so. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think the Texans are going to miss him. I really don't think that I think that he was more of a headache than what he was worth. He stayed injured throughout his entire stint with the Houston Texans, and I don't think that they're going to miss him at all. I really don't. So they got a third-round pick for him, and they got some linebackers. Kudos to them. the Texans also traded with the Miami Dolphins for left tackle Laremee Tunsil and wide receiver Hidden Stills. And the Miami Dolphins picked up a first-round pick in 2020 and 2021 and a second-round pick in 2021. Offensive tackle Julian Davenport and cornerback Johnson Banowski, I don't know who the hell you are either. Houston will also receive a fourth-round pick in 2020 and a sixth-round pick in 2021 from the Miami Dolphins. Let me go to you first, Professor X Factor.
aren't you gonna finish the rest of Houston's trades?
No, that's all I have right now. Well, I mean, obviously I'm missing something if you ask me that question. So how about you fill in the rest? What else am I
missing? They traded for Carlos Hyde from Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, you know what? I stand corrected. Exactly. If you are
Houston
correct.
Was busy as shit.
Yeah, they were. They were. Let me get back
busier
to
busier than a streetwalker on K Street.
You crazies. who got the better part? Who got the better part of the deal when it comes to the Texans and the Miami Dolphins? Was it Houston or was it Miami, Professor?
Houston or Miami or Houston and Seattle?
No, well, Houston and Miami, because Seattle, I think they got the better deal in Seattle. That's why I didn't even bother to ask that question. I'm talking about Miami.
Seattle did not get the better deal. Seattle got an injury from problem.
Right.
They got a problem.
Right.
Miami got the worst end of the deal.
Okay.
They got the worst end of the deal. I mean, they just did. You get. As difficult as it is to find offensive tackles, you give away Laramie Tunsil.
Man. Right.
I mean, that's just not good. And you give away Stills, that's even worse. Laramie Tunsil gives Deshaun Watson a ridiculous amount of additional time in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Stills gives Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. It relieves double team pressure off of DeAndre Hopkins, which is a problem because honestly, I think DeAndre Hopkins might be the overall best wide receiver in the league. Stats be damned, I think he's probably the best wide receiver in the league.
I'm not going to even argue with you on that one.
Secondly, you gave Deshaun Watson another weapon in Stills. So, but then, you know, in terms of the Clowney move, dude, he's injured 55.5% of the time. I'm sitting here looking at his injury history.
Mm-hmm.
From 2014 up to now, it's June 3rd of 2014, groin, sports hernia. August 14th. 2014, head cranial concussion. September 7th, 2014, knee meniscus tear. November 23rd, 2014, knee meniscus tear. October 8th, 2015, pedal ankle sprain. November 1st, 2015, back lower lumbar sprain. December 27th, 2015, pedal limb sprain. November 27th, 2016, arm and elbow sprain. No, December 24th, 2016, another arm and elbow sprain. January 23rd, 2017, a knee strain. January 8th, 2018, a knee strain. September 9th, 2018, back lower lumbar sprain, pulled, unspecific, grade 1. Dude, I'm going to tell you who Jadeveon Clowney reminds me of.
Who does remind you of?
I'm going to be honest with you. The storyline is almost identical.
Okay.
Remember LeVar Arrington?
Yeah, to a degree. Mm-hmm.
Every time he got hurt, you have a groin, you have a hernia in your groin area. Played through a sports hernia in his final season at South Carolina, underwent surgery. So the first year in the league, he wasn't even on the field. His rookie season, he did not play. And he says he missed about a week of training camp with a concussion. Underwent surgery for a torn lateral meniscus in his knee. Missed the final 5 games of the 2014 season, dealing with complications from his September surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his knee. He had a microfracture surgery in December. And then Clowney undergoes arthroscopic surgery on his left knee after the 2016 season. That was in January of 2017. Then in January 2018, Clowney undergoes arthroscopic knee surgery shortly after the 2017 season ended. And then in September of 2018, Clowney missed 2 weeks with an unspecified back injury. When you start having problems with your back.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
It's over, man.
It's pretty much a wrap.
It's over.
Let me get to the executive real quick, man, before we move on to these AFC teams. Executive, who got the better part of the deal? Was it the Texans or the Miami Dolphins?
Look here. I'm only going to repeat myself once today. But I was saying something earlier, and wasn't none of y'all responding, so clearly my phone was out or something. So we're going to let that slide once. So I'm going to say what I said, and I'm going to say it again. This is the last time I say it. See what I'm saying? So this is what I'm saying. First of all, okay, Miami Dolphins have four first-round picks in the next 2 years. Four second-round picks in the next 2 years. Two third-round picks plus a compensatory pick in the next 2 years. So you can't tell, nobody can say Miami lost this until they draft. So that's
okay.
One.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, Houston, we ain't got no more problems. Oh, Lord, the Texans about to be the best damn squad in Texas. Ain't that some shit? They lost their starting running back
about a week ago.
They lost their starting running back, and then they changed the whole damn team. J.J. Watt playing golf, and the little golf boy come over and said, "Mr. Watt, your friend's been traded to Seattle." That's how J.J. found out. So look here, Houston won all of this. And if everybody stays healthy, shit. Houston is a contender now. And just to co-sign, okay, I don't know who would argue this shit except somebody else on the list. But DeAndre Hopkins, damn sure the best overall wide receiver. He is Larry Fitzgerald 2.0.
That's what Professor just said. Arguably the best wide receiver in the league right now.
No. That's not what the professor just said. Professor just said he's arguably. I just said argues is stupid.
Gotcha. Okay.
He's the best overall receiver in the league because he is Larry Fitzgerald 2.0. He's 2.0. Faster than Fitzgerald with the same type of hands, with the same type of consistency, no matter what trash is throwing him the ball. He's catching it.
He's had a lot of trash throwing the ball.
That is what makes you the best. Yeah. See, there are divas that don't need to be named, but there's a handful of divas in the league complaining about who's throwing them the ball. Well, clearly you're not the best because DeAndre ain't said shit and he catching everything. Everything.
Yep, absolutely.
Plain and simple.
Absolutely. And just for those who don't know, he hasn't dropped a single pass last season, not one. He has caught everything that came his way. He is a bad man. He is definitely a bad man.
Like I said.
Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, the Colts gave Jacoby Brissett a 2-year, $30 million extension. Real quick, man, I got to get y'all takes on this, man. Jacoby Brissett, $30 million extension, man. He was entering the fourth year and final year of his rookie deal. He was going to earn $2 million in the season. Professor X Factor, good move or bad move on behalf of the Colts?
I think it's a good move. I mean, what other options do you? You don't have a guaranteed option out there. So you got to do something. You got to do something. I mean, Andrew Luck left you fucked.
I am better than you. I am better than you.
I mean,
okay. Executive, good move or bad move on the part of the Colts, man? $30 million extension, 2 years, Jacoby Brissett.
Repeat your question.
Is it a good move or a bad move on the part of the Colts to give Jacoby Brissett $30 million, 2-year extension?
It's kind of like right down the middle.
Okay.
And let me explain why.
Okay.
If the Colts, metaphorically speaking, were to be successful and contenders this year, again, people, metaphorically speaking, then because homeboy's in a contract year and he's a Brady backup, then all of a sudden the demand financially for him is Garoppolo money.
Okay, I see where you're going.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So if
Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't even earned his money.
And that's my point. That's exactly my point. So if Jacoby Brissett, again, a Brady backup that transplants to another team, becomes a starter, and in a contract year, does more than Kirk Cousins has done, than Jimmy Garoppolo has done, then you've got to pay this motherfucker $175 million. That's what you got to pay his ass. So 2 years, $30 million. Yup, smart move. Now, is it good? Well, I mean, if he plays like, you know, the Jacoby Brissett we're used to, then not so smart, because you could let him go, or, you know, re-sign him to his appropriate financial contract, and then dip into a quarterback-heavy-ass draft that comes up in April.
Okay.
Which, again, let me refer back to the previous topic, which, again, is the reason you can't say Miami failed or lost, is because Miami has the trigger power. Well, first of all, let's be real. They're already going to have the number one overall pick. So let's just go ahead and cancel that shit out. They don't have to move up. They're not going to have to move up, okay? And just to touch on this real quick, because I don't know if Gary Ward's going to touch on it, so I got to throw this in there real quick for the listeners. For those listening, for those who are mad, upset, disappointed, or think it's stupid for Josh Rosen to be benched, you're wrong. Fitzpatrick can get you 4 wins. On any team, on any year, he can get you 4. Now, is it 4 in a row? Not always. Is it 4 guaranteed? Yes. But he can get you 4. So it is better to put Fitzpatrick in there and let him get 4, or let him fuck up 4 games, and then you have a reason to put the rookie in. Oh, excuse me, he's not a rookie, but y'all know what I mean. Put the novice in. You got a reason to put the novice in and not have to pull him all season. If you start Josh Rosen and the Dolphins go 0-5, which they should, no matter who the quarterback is based on that roster. If they go 0-5, then everybody's looking for Fitzpatrick. If Fitzpatrick goes 0-5, then everybody's looking for Rosen. See how it works? So it's a smart thing to see if you have the quarterback that you know of the future after the first quarter of this season. Let the veteran get in and try to get you 4. Let Rosen get his feet wet and then step in. And then if Rosen takes over and he becomes chosen Rosen, then you don't have to draft Tua at the top of the league. Or you wind up for the second year in a row, and I would love this shit. The second year in a row, another team that Josh Rosen gets traded to draft a quarterback number one overall.
Right. That would be crazy.
Yo, mute me, because I'm a laugh. Just joking, but that shit is funny.
That would be crazy.
Y'all know that shit would be funny.
Yeah, that would be crazy. But ladies and gentlemen, first of all, let me just let you know again, the number to the show is 858-777-8433. If you want to comment or anything that we've talked about, press 1 on your mobile device. And make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Locker Room Talk Radio. We're going to go ahead and get into this, ladies and gentlemen. The AFC, we got 3 days. 3 days until kickoff. I cannot wait. 3 days until the 2019 NFL season shall commence. I cannot wait. But we're going to break down one side of the league, which is the AFC Conference. So what I did was I posted a question on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. and I said, who would be the division leaders of each AFC conference? So this is what I did, and this is who I predicted. So I'm going to give you my predictions, and then I'm going to get executives' predictions, and then I'm going to get professors' predictions. AFC division leaders. Now, I want to give a shout out to a guy who went on our Facebook page at Locker Room Talk Radio by the name of Philip Hathaway. Shout out to Philip Hathaway. He predicts in the AFC.
Philippe.
I'm sorry?
It's Philippe.
Oh, Philippe. No, that's Philip.
No, it's Philippe. It's French.
I got you. So, in the AFC North, Mr. Philippe, he predicted that the Baltimore Ravens would be the division leaders of the AFC North. He predicted that the Jacksonville Jaguars will be the division leaders of the AFC South. The New England Patriots, the AFC East champs. And he predicted the AFC West leader will be, wait for it, the San Diego Chargers. Now, a couple of them, you know.
You mean they relocated back to San Diego again?
Oh, they did. That lets you know how much I don't think about them. I apologize, Chargers fans. L.A. Chargers, I apologize to you again. Yeah, he predicted the Los Angeles Chargers.
We apologize to all seven of y'all. Come on, now, you know Philip Rivers got more kids than they got fans.
Hey, man, I hear you. Now, I'm going to give my prediction, and then I'm going to give professors' predictions, and then I'm going to give executives' predictions. My prediction was AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers, AFC South, the Houston Texans, AFC East, damn New England Patriots, yeah, I said it, yeah, well, whatever, and the AFC West, I predicted the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's who I predicted. Professor X Factor, your time to predict. AFC North, who is winning?
Honestly, I think it's going to be Cleveland.
Yeah, I knew you was going to say that.
I'm telling you, I think it's going to be Cleveland, man. I mean, I'm being dead. Like, you know, I don't make decisions based on emotions and fandemonium and all of that shit. Right now, in that division, they got the best roster in that division. Just based off rosters alone, yeah, Cleveland wins that division.
Okay, AFC South, sir. Who's winning that division? AFC South.
The Texans.
Houston Texans. That's what I said. Okay. AFC East. Who's winning?
New England.
New England. Yeah. And AFC West. Who's winning that one?
This is not actually this. The AFC West is actually the toughest to call in the AFC.
Really?
It's the toughest one to call.
I don't think so.
Because although Patrick Mahomes did what he did last year, Denver's defense didn't get worse during the offseason.
Okay.
Oakland has been completely turned upside down on their head, so you don't really know what brand of football you're going to get out of the Raiders. And the Chargers, every blue moon, they sneak into places that they have no business sneaking into. So, I mean, I'm going to say the Chiefs, but it will not shock me if it's Denver.
Okay.
I will not be shocked if it's Denver at all.
Okay.
So, you know, that's just my personal take on it.
Okay. Well, let me get to executive. Executive. You are up, sir. AFC North.
All right. Who's in the North? Who's in the North?
The Steelers, the Browns, the Ravens, the Bengals. Who is winning that division?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay. AFC South.
I think they sneak in by half a game type shit.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
AFC South, the Texans, the Jags, the Titans, the Colts.
Oh, that's the Texans. Houston right. Ain't got no more problems.
Okay. The yep. AFC East, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins, the Bills. You don't have to say a damn word. I look, I already said it for you. I was like,
I mean, I guess give it to the fucking clam chowder.
And last but not least, sir, the AFC West. The Chiefs, the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chargers. Who's winning?
Hail to the Chiefs.
Hail to the Chiefs. You know, and that's what I said. But, you know, Professor said that he wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos. Let me just tell you how funny. Let me tell you. I picked the division leaders, but let me also tell you in which order I predicted each division to come to fruition. The AFC North, I'll put the Steelers at number one, the Browns at number two, the Ravens at number three, and the Bengals in last place.
Everybody put the Bengals in last place, including the Bengals.
Man, what? And
you know what? I want to know how it feels to be AJ Green. Like, what do you do every year?
I ain't even going to hold you.
You
when
know
it,
saying,
when
like,
it comes to the AFC North, you know why I can't pick Baltimore?
Why?
Because too much of their season hinges upon Lamar Jackson staying healthy.
Okay. Okay.
And the way that son of a bitch play, he gonna get touched. Somebody gonna touch his ass. Somebody gonna touch his
but
ass.
But you know what? You know what the funny thing about that statement is? You can apply the same statement to Pittsburgh and Cleveland because what the fuck are they doing when Baker gets injured and Roethlisberger gets knocked the fuck out? They're going to be doing absolutely nothing.
The difference in Cleveland is that Baker Mayfield actually has the ability because of his receiving core and his running game for the Cleveland Browns not to be wholly and solely dependent on Baker Mayfield. That's the difference. In Pittsburgh, Big Ben goes down, the season is shot. In Baltimore, Lamar Jackson goes down, the season is shot. In Cincinnati, it's just whatever the fuck it is in it. So
you know what? And I hear you. However, because the only thing that Cleveland as a whole is riding is Baker. I don't quite see it that way. See,
they're not riding Baker. They're not.
See, you're speaking from what we call common sense. And I'm sorry, X. Everybody doesn't have that. See, Cleveland is riding passion. See, if you were a coach or you were the GM or, hell, even you were another franchise player on that squad, you would see it in a common sense way because you're intelligent. They are not. They are passionate. So if their passionate leader goes down, and I don't mean for a game or two, I mean he's down. He's knocked the plug out. He is getting buffet ordered on IR.
Mm.
The confidence goes down. The shock and awe goes down. The whole stadium is going to get quiet like it's a Sierra concert in Seattle.
That's messed up, man.
It's over. It's over. No. I think quiet in a good way because in Seattle, it's the 12. They do whatever they're told to do by Russell Wilson. So Russell would say, shut up. My wife is singing. They would shut up. Yeah, I don't mean like in a boo way. I mean like it's quiet. You can hear a pin drop because she's performing. Clap at the end. You know that hold your applause for the end? Yep.
Hold your clap. Hold your
Look. And then when she finished, everybody gonna look at Russell. Russell gonna say, "Go Hawks," and everybody gonna scream and cheer.
I hear you. But hey, let me go by this order that I also put in the AFC South. I picked the Texans to be the division leaders. Second place, I picked Jacksonville. Third place, I picked the Titans. Last place, I picked the Colts in that division. In the AFC East, of course, I picked them damn Patriots to be number one. I picked the Jets to be number two. Surprising. The Dolphins will be number three, and the Bills will be in last place. AFC West, I picked the Chiefs first.
Wait, you what?
Okay, which question are you asking?
The Bills will be in last place?
I'll put the Bills in last place, sir.
How many teams in the world do you have better than Miami? Or is it just they're better than Buffalo
and nobody else? No, I'm not saying
Miami. Asking the question.
No, I'm going to answer. I'm not saying Miami's better. I'm just saying that third is no different than fourth. So at the end of the day, I just don't see the Buffalo. I don't see the Buffalo Bills going far this year. I really don't.
Well, I'm sorry. Wait, third is no different than fourth. So if you have three children or four children, it's the same.
Okay. All right. Check this out.
Thank you.
Okay, we already know in that division the Patriots are going to win, but it's going to be multiple teams.
No, we
come
don't.
Out.
We are prepared for it, but we don't know that because let Brady get knocked the hell out for 6 weeks.
Okay, well
you know what's funny?
That's what's ridiculous.
I'm going to tell you what's funny and what's interesting, right? So we were talking about AFC North a little while ago and about like banking on one player and the common sense approach. I'd like to know what we think about New England's approach when it comes to the players on their roster. A lot of these guys, Brady, sixth round pick. Edelman, sixth round pick. Former quarterback in college. Chris Hogan, lacrosse player, turned NFL wide receiver. What the hell is it that they see in people that we are flat out fucking missing? What is it?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
Like, how are they? When I think about that team, that's the part of sport to me that's the most frustrating, because I look at them on draft day and I think to myself the same thing every year. I literally think to myself, what the hell are they doing?
Well, like I said, man, and I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, man, I look at it like this. There are teams that's going to come out of other divisions that's going to make the playoffs, I think, before the Buffalo Bills. So it really doesn't make a difference which position that they're in. They're not going that far to me. But like I said, you know, shit happens. They could, and if they do, congratulations. Okay.
None of that was my question, though. My question was, how many teams out of 32 do you see better than Miami? Buffalo is one. How many else? That was my question. It doesn't matter who's seated where and somebody.
No, okay, there's a lot of teams
that are
better than Miami. Okay, there's a lot of teams that's better than Miami. Right.
No. See, I'm saying all the teams are better than Miami. I'm asking you, how many teams do you think Miami is better than? Answer the question.
Not a lot. No, not a lot.
That doesn't answer my question. That's like saying you'll be here soon or shortly. That don't tell me what time you're going to be here.
I'm going to project like three. Maybe.
So you project the Miami Dolphins finishing 29th overall.
That's a possibility.
So you have the Miami Dolphins drafting fourth this year.
Okay. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, you asked me a question.
Yeah, I'm trying to get this shit on record. You sitting there talking about, I got Miami finishing third. Hold the fuck. Who? What?
Okay. Well, okay.
Hey, somewhere, AJ Green is laughing.
Oh, hey, man, that's cool. But check this out. AFC West, Chiefs number one. And believe it or not, I know I'm probably going to get a lot of shit with this one. And I'm going to say it, and I'm going to stick by it. Because, like Professor said, I don't know what's going on with this team. They're on top of their head. You don't know which one, which brand they're going to come out. I picked the Raiders to be number two. I picked the Raiders to be number two, and I picked Denver to be number three and the Chargers to be last.
Well, I ain't got no problem with that because at least you're smart enough to realize that the Chargers have lost half of their starters through injury or contract issue, and half of them ain't even playing this year between week one and week eight. So at least that's smart.
You know what it is about Denver, and I understood Professor's point earlier about the Broncos.
That fucking pass rush.
I get that. But you know what concerns me?
You don't know what Flacco you're going to get?
Exactly. Come on.
Yep.
I knew he was going to say that.
That's what I said. That position
this much about Joe Flacco I will give you. Joe Flacco doesn't spend a lot of time hurt.
Okay.
He doesn't spend a lot of time hurt, and he doesn't really turn the ball over that much.
But you know what you just described? Jacoby Brissett.
we don't know that because Brissett hasn't played enough games. But I feel what you're saying.
Yes,
he has.
He played damn near all the season before last. You forgot? That's when Andrew Luck missed his first entire year.
Oh,
Brissett was the starter the whole year.
Right.
Season before
right.
last.
Yeah.
Right. Season before last.
I'm saying it over and over again because we don't give a shit about what happened season before last.
We got that. But we were just saying that you've seen him in that.
Yeah, but we don't have enough work to view him.
Right.
And yes, we
that's
do.
All we're right.
That's all we were saying.
Not the greatest. Right. But
I don't trust that motherfucker. He ain't the answer. He's a fill-in until they find somebody in the draft.
Ain't nobody disputing that, bro. All I'm saying is that I'm looking at the Broncos, and like I said, I just don't know if I'm so on Joe Flacco with the Denver Broncos. If it's anybody else, I might have put the Broncos before the Raiders. And the only reason why I put the Raiders number two is because even though, like Professor said, you don't know which Raider you're going to get, but if Antonio Brown and Devin Carr start making sweet music together in the first four games, I don't see the Broncos.
Yeah, hell, not even that.
As good as their defense is, I can see the Raiders, you know what I'm saying, winning games by close margins just because they just outscored the team that they were playing, not because they just beat the hell out of them. You know what I'm saying? That's why I put them number two. So, and the Chiefs is just the Chiefs. That's just the bottom line. Like I said, they only got better.
The problem in Kansas City that I see them having, same problem they had last year. They can't keep teams out of the end zone.
Okay.
They can't do it. They cannot fucking do it. They cannot keep teams out of the end zone. Now, damn it. It would be nice to see them keep the team out of the end zone. Probably not going to happen.
Well, they did add a couple of good players on their defense this season, right? They added executive from Seattle that they just picked up? Clark. What's his name?
Look here. They picked up Clark, but they got rid of D Ford, so.
Oh, yeah, they did get rid of D Ford. I forgot.
they didn't add Clark. They switched out one for one.
Okay.
You see, what Kansas City did with Clark and D Ford is what Minnesota just did with Laquan Treadwell and Josh Dotson.
And Josh Dotson.
You know what? You traded one bus for another bus.
Right, for another one. Exactly. That's why I didn't even bring the ass up on the damn show. I was like, I'm not bringing that up. But
y'all are busted. Y'all stupid.
They've got talent on the defensive side of the ball. I don't understand why they give up as many points as they do.
Look here.
Part of me wants to blame it on the defensive tackles.
But no pressure.
Chris Jones and Derek Nandi.
Got you.
I'm just trying to explain something to you, okay? Okay, the bigger you are, the more tired you get coming fourth quarter. I'm just saying. Look, let's be real. All the he has and the funny shit out the window.
That's a problem, though. But that's
No, wait. I'm only explaining, not excusing. I'm explaining to the listener.
No, no, no. I'm just making a point that that's part of the problem with their play calling style offensively, is that they score so fast. Their defense is always on the damn field. There's no like you remember, prime example, even though it's not the same league or same level of play, but the college championship game one year. Remember when Texas played against USC? Remember what Texas's game plan for USC was? It was to keep Reggie Bush on the goddamn sideline.
Absolutely.
The best way to do that is to control the clock, which Vince Young did masterfully, by the way.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I like Kansas City, but
Vince Young ever did.
So you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs like back in the day when Peyton Manning was on the Colts. Because the Colts, that's pretty much the same blueprint that the Colts did. They would score so damn fast, and then they put their defense on the field, and just as many points as they were getting, they were giving up as well.
But the difference is that in late-game situations, the Colts, whenever
Peyton Manning knew how to manage
like
the clock.
But not even that. Whenever Dwight Freeney felt like it, he could get to the quarterback. Whenever Dwight Freeney wanted to, he could get to the quarterback. Him and that fat neck bastard they had over there,
Gary Brackett.
That
come on, son.
Late game fourth quarter, him and Dwight Freeney was every damn where.
Yeah, that they were.
Kansas City don't have that. Kansas City doesn't have that at all.
Well, I got you. But, you know, if they make it to the AFC Championship game,
whether or not Kansas City's offensive line can block and keep Denver's pass rush off of Patrick Mahomes.
Like I said, we gonna find out. We gonna definitely find out.
That pass rush so far this preseason, that shit is a problem.
Hey, Professor, you had a question that you saw on a specific Facebook page as far as there's a question about running backs in the division. What question was that?
Yeah, which running back is going to have the most rushing yards this year?
Okay, in what division?
In the AFC North.
In the AFC North division, which running back is going to have the most rushing yards? So we're looking at, well, see, that's going to be kind of hard because at the end of the day, we have, let's break it down like this. We got Mark Ingram, right, for the Baltimore Ravens. You got Joe Mixon for the Cincinnati Bengals. You got Nick Chubb, but they're going to probably split carries with Akeem Hunt when he's available.
Yeah, with Kareem Hunt when he come back, yeah.
Yeah, and you got James Conner. So, if I had to pick a running back in that division, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to even say Bradley Chubb. And even though they're not going to go far, but I can see.
Yeah, Bradley Chubb is the linebacker in Denver.
Well, I mean,
Nick Chubb, you know.
Nick Chubb. But you know what?
Yeah, you know, Bradley Chubb plays for the San Diego Chargers.
No,
he doesn't.
I know.
Did you hear what I said?
I know. But yo, I'll be honest with you. I don't know, man. I can see Joe Mixon probably getting the most yards out of all of them in that division. Because they don't have nobody else other than AJ Green.
I mean, he had almost 1,200 rushing yards last year.
Come on, son. Come on.
I mean, and he's only 22 years old. He last year he averaged 4.9 yards a carry and had 8 touchdowns rushing.
Didn't have
a bad year. Although, personally, I think Mark Ingram is going to have more yards than him.
Really?
Because I don't think the coaching staff in Baltimore trusts Lamar Jackson's arm.
Right, but they do trust his leg, and Mark Ingram is going to have to split carries with the quarterback.
Yeah, come on now. Exactly.
Yeah, but that's what will open up lanes for Mark Ingram is the fact that you can't cover and keep the quarterback in the box and run a defense that preps you for a running back being able to take off and run at the same time. It's almost impossible.
Look, I'm gonna be honest.
That there's
the
defense
reason
in that division that can't do that.
But the problem I see is this. I see the problem actually being the fact that the most work that Ingram is going to have done this year will come from yak, not from actually
yards after contact.
It's not actually going to be from a handoff behind the line of scrimmage. It's going to be dump off passes that are 1 and 2 yards, and he runs, 15, 25, 35, 40, 50, 60 yards after the catch each damn time, taken away from what basically is a run because he started with the ball behind the line of scrimmage. I see that be taken away from his stats.
I'm going to say this because I swear to God, boy, I can see Professor's face right now. At the end of this season, James Conner mess around and have more rushing yards than everybody in that division, oh, I can't wait to hear what Professor got to say. I can see his face now. I can see it because he does not like James Conner. But don't be surprised if James Conner is in that conversation. Don't be surprised.
And don't be surprised if Tony Pollard is in a James Conner situation.
That's not even a guarantee that James Conner is going to hold on to that starting job for the entirety of the season.
Who else?
That was part of the reason why the Steelers went out and got Benny Snell Jr. in the draft.
Oh, well, Benny Snell Jr., right. But yeah, I hear you, man, but Snell is okay. No, that's a whole new.
Say it. Come on, come on. No.
Stay with your chest, baby.
You know we got that.
Snell is not as good as Conner, man. He's not. Whether you like him or you hate him, he's not as good.
No, he doesn't have to be as big as Conner. Ward Dunn wasn't as big as a whole lot of people.
No, I said good.
I don't know if he's as good as Conner or not. I mean, watching Benny Snell run behind a second string offensive line is pales in comparison to what he would be able to be behind a starting offensive line. So I don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. But I know James Conner is not better than Joe Mixon. I know Conner is not better than Mark Ingram. Conner is not better than Nick Chubb. So to me, James Conner doesn't end up at the top of that list.
but however, James Conner is better than Bradley Chubb. Just wanted to throw that in there.
James Conner can't run over Bradley Chubb, but James Conner's
food. Does not like that dude, man. I always
I don't like him. God damn it, I don't. No, I do not. I don't like him.
God damn it, I don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from the man who started the segment off with, I make decisions void of emotion. But I don't like that fool.
I'm telling you, last year, honestly, I think James Conner was able to do a lot of what he did last year because the secondary, you got to be able to keep your eye on. Once Juju started making a name for himself, and defenses realized that they had two wide receivers that they had to account for, not just one in Antonio Brown, it became a lot easier for James Conner to find running lanes. It became a whole lot easier for him to find running lanes. Now Antonio Brown is gone. We don't know whether or not Juju can handle being double-teamed in the secondary on a consistent basis, which we know he's going to fucking see. How many running lanes you think going to be open for James Conner now?
You got 90 seconds, gentlemen. But go ahead, Professor.
Ain't gonna be very many running lanes open for him. Honestly, Nick Chubb is gonna have more yards than anybody in that division.
Nick Chubb, we got it.
Nick Chubb.
Got you. Ladies and gentlemen, all good things must come to an end. I wanna thank my family as well.
Came to an end? I thought we were going into the archives.
Nah, man, we gotta get up out of here, man. I want to thank my brother, Executive Chef Q Drake, for man, my brother, man, Professor X Factor, and make sure you tune in this Thursday.
Professor, I'm gonna meet you in the archive.
You're stupid. 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday's show, which will be kickoff day. We are also going to discuss the NFC conference. That's going to definitely be a lot of fun. This is Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, a.k.a. Silver Lining, signing off. And remember, It's never goodbye. It's always see you later. Peace.